CTV.
Am I hearing from God or am I hearing from myself? Is this of the Father or is this of the wicked one? Because there's not much difference sometimes between the wicked one and what I would do. So goes the subtext of the question that I was asked that I'm going to answer today. Good morning. Welcome to my laundry room. I'm a little late today, as you can see. But that's okay. The sun's starting to come up. I wish it kind of wouldn't. I like the dark quiet of morning. But I'm going to make the best of things today. And I'm going to answer the question that I read yesterday from a subscriber, which is, I was excited to get your book on free will. The really bad thing about free will. Thank you very much for that. And if anyone is interested in that book, as well you should be, it's the last word, honestly. Anybody reads this book and still believes in, it's a skinny book. It's not big. It's thin. It's a 45-minute read. If anybody reads this book and still believes in human free will after they read it, I just hardly know what to say, except they are truly locked up by God in stubbornness. This is your best chance to get a friend or loved one to unhand the unholy teaching of human free will. Get my book, order it. It's not very expensive. I'm pretty sure it's under $10. Go to my website, martinzender.com. Go to books and go to look at Really Bad Thing About Free Will. You can read excerpts there. It's illustrated. All my books are illustrated because the first thing I do when I peruse a book is I look page through it and see if they're pictures. I like pictures. And so I put in my own books what I like to see in other people's books, illustrations, pictures, cartoons, satirical cartoons, cartoons that make you laugh at the foibles, the hypocrisies of the Christian religion. That's what I do. Nobody else really does it. I nail them. All right, so the question goes on here. Got your book. I had the feeling I was about to step way out of the norm. Yes, you are. And that's a good thing because the majority is usually wrong. Yes, the majority are lemmings going off the cliff. You don't want to be one of those. When I read your book, I finally found some ground that I could stand on and someone who could show me what I was thinking. My question is, how do I tell if God is telling me to do something or if it's just me? Yes, these competing voices. Is it God or is it me? And again, as I suggested yesterday, we used to think that we could derail God's plans. Well, we can't. We used to think that God was going to be thrown completely off his plan if we did something that was so horrific, so bad, and who's to judge what it is? Some of us have, you know, are so fearful of doing something wrong and upsetting God that the tiniest thing can throw you off and think that you have totally gone outside of God's intention. I mean, you forget to take out the garbage. Now, that's not a good example. You forget to feed your cat, or you forget to give your kid his medicine on time. And like, you just torment yourself. You torture yourself. It's not like you tried to do the wrong thing, but you're human. You are human, and you make mistakes. And there's so many things you have to deal with in life, so many issues you have to wrestle with constantly that how can you keep track of everything? So you're going to make mistakes. And I'm telling you, if you get upset about minor mistakes, my God, you're not going to have any energy to deal with the big ones. But I'll tell you this, even the big mistakes will not, cannot throw God off of his track because God has designated beforehand every one of your mistakes, all the mistakes you've made in the past, all the mistakes you're making today, and all the mistakes you will make tomorrow. In telling you that, and that's an absolute fact, all your mistakes have been predestined because your life was laid out before there was a your life. It was laid out. God knew your days, every one of your days, before there was even one of them. And he dictated every single event in your life. So the things that you are meant to screw up, you cannot absolutely avoid them. Having said that, as we go through life not knowing what the future holds, we will exhort one another to do the right things. Yes, I'm going to tell you, hey, time to give your medicine to your kid, I'm going to tell you, you better take the garbage out or, you know, it's going to pile up, right? Don't forget. Don't forget. We tell each other that all the time. Do you got your car keys? How many times have you told someone you're with when you're going on a trip? You got your car keys? When you're getting out of a car, right? You got your keys? Because you don't want to lock your keys in the car. So we're always warning each other. You got your keys? You got your keys? There is no problem between that and the sovereignty of God. Of course, if you're meant to leave the keys in the car, lock the keys in the car, you will. If you're meant to do it, you will do it. Of course, everybody knows that, except Christians. But every normal person knows that, of course, God is sovereign. Of course. There's no such thing as chance in the universe. Of course. But it doesn't mean we don't try to help each other avoid these pitfalls. But when the pitfalls happen, when you do lock your keys in your car, you might as well stop being frustrated right there. Because after it happens, you know that it was meant to happen. Before it happens, you don't know it was meant to happen, do you? You don't know. You don't know before it happens if it's meant to happen. How could you? Because it hasn't happened yet. But once it happens, if you're in the know, if you understand the sovereignty of God, then you realize that had to happen. That thing had to happen. I could not have avoided it. Then you know, after something happens, you know that God had designated that to happen, predestined that to happen. At the same time, we're not fatalists. We don't sit around and go, well, God wants me to lock up my car, lock my keys in my car, guess I will. So I'll just sit here and not even think about my keys. Why should I? If I lock them in, it's God's will. If I don't lock them in, it's God's will. So I don't want anybody to warn me. I don't want anybody to say, don't lock your keys in your car. Do you have your keys? Shut up, because God's will be done. That is stupid. That's fatalism. Nobody here does that. No atheists even do that. Nobody does that. That's fatalism. Maybe some monks do it. Maybe some people in the Eastern religions do it. But you and I don't do it because it's ridiculous. So there are three ways to know, speaking now, of our actions, of what we do, what we should do, what we shouldn't do. We all want to do the right things. Most of us. I do. I always want to do the right things. There are three ways that God will tell you whether a thing is relatively right or wrong. Either by, one, conscience, two, scriptural revelation, or three, circumstance. Three ways. Where else are you going to get this? This is solid, what I'm telling you. Conscience. God gives you a conscience. It's a built-in thing. It's very mysterious. I don't know how it works. I don't know what its components are, but I know that unless your conscience is screwed up, and there is such a thing as a burned conscience, a cauterized conscience, God gives you this built-in thing. You know it's right or wrong. So before you do something that you know is wrong, wait a minute. How do you know it's wrong? How do you know it's wrong? It could be because your conscience. It's like that little angel on your right shoulder, the devil on your left shoulder. That angel on your right shoulder, that's your conscience. It's not an angel, okay? And it's not literally on your right shoulder, of course, but it is. It does have a name, and it is a gift of God, and it's the conscience. And your conscience either acquits you or accuses you, or you're either guilty or not guilty according to your conscience. Even after you do something, you feel fine. Some people have a really low threshold for sin, let's say. Baptists, they think that watching an R-rated movie is sin. They know it's wrong, but they watch it anyway, and then afterwards they feel guilty. Okay? They went against their conscience. Everybody has certain thresholds of the conscience. Other people can watch an R-rated movie. Hell, they can watch X-rated movies and they feel fine. They feel fantastic. Afterwards, they don't feel guilty. They want to watch another one. Okay. But the second thing you need to ask yourself, okay, that's the conscience. And as you grow in faith, your conscience will grow also. Happy is a man who does not blame himself in that which he allows. That's a scripture verse. I'll put it on the screen. Happy the man who does not condemn himself in that which he allows. Because Paul says, this is a radical statement of Paul's, whatever is not of faith is sin. If you have faith for it, then it's not sin. I have faith to drink wine. I have faith to watch an X-rated movie. It's not sin. But if you think it's sin, then to you it is sin. Some people think it's sin to eat meat. Some people think it's a sin to look at a billboard with a beautiful woman on it. Some people think that's a sin. And so if they do it, to them it's a sin. To the person to whom it's not a sin, who has the faith to do it, then it's not a sin. I can look at that billboard, feel great. Other people, I've sinned against God and man and woman, that woman. What do I do? Okay. And they want to go to confession. They want to beat themselves up. But what if it actually is a sin? Well, the second way you know something is wrong is scriptural revelation. So you go to the scriptures, and the scriptures will tell you, Paul will tell you, Paul has exhortations in the scriptures, not laws, not rules. And there's an exhortation like, you know, don't be an adulterer. Don't steal another man's wife. That's solid. I mean, you solidly don't want to do that. It's evident that this is wrong. Stealing something from someone else is wrong. Martin, what if my conscience allows me to do it? What if my conscience thinks it's fine to steal a stereo from the store? Don't do it. Your conscience is screwed up because it's against a scriptural revelation. You see? Whatever your conscience misses, scripture picks up. It's a catch-all. It comes behind the lawnmower, catches the clippings that are left over from your screwed up conscience. But if you read scripture and you're aware and you know what is decent, what is indecent, then your conscience will be pretty well stable. And then you can go away from the scripture, not be consulting it every 5 minutes, and your conscience pretty much takes care of you. And even the nations, Paul says this in Romans chapter 1, even the nations who have no law, the Ten Commandments never came to the nations, they know because of their conscience testifying together with them, they know that it's wrong to take someone else's property, to sneak into their house and take it. They know it's wrong not because the law of Moses told them it was wrong, because they don't have the law of Moses. They know it's wrong because their conscience is aligned with Scripture. And a conscience will be aligned with Scripture unless it's somehow been screwed up. I think religion can screw up somebody's conscience. That's probably the premier way a conscience can be screwed up, is by contact with religion. Religion will make things sins that aren't sins. Of course, I've talked to you a lot about the sexual sins, and these are, I hate to say it because we're not even under the law of Moses, but religion is famous for inventing sexual sins that aren't even in the law of Moses, which was the toughest law in the land. If you want to know what the sexual sins are, you go to Leviticus chapter 20, but that's in the law of Moses. We're under grace. Does the law of Moses say you can't look at a billboard with a beautiful woman on it? No. Among other things. That's number two. Okay, let's review. Number one, conscience. Two, scriptural revelation. Three, circumstance. This is the beautiful thing. Circumstance. I'm going to dabble in it. I'm going to touch on it, and then I'm going to elaborate on it tomorrow, because my time's getting short. But I love this topic because God loves this topic. He loves it when people recognize that He is the sovereign over circumstances, every circumstance. There is no detail in life too small to evade the control of God. Nothing gets out of His purview, out of His control. Otherwise, He's not God. I reject out of hand the God of Christianity, whose creation basically has gotten out of His control. On day one, okay, day six maybe, when Adam sinned, they say that that went out of God's control. And ever since then, God has been scrambling to correct it. He's scrambling every day to catch up to the havoc that has been wreaked by sin and death in his universe. Nothing could be further from the truth. So along the line of circumstance, some people are in the habit of waiting for a sign from God of what to do. This is a Christian thing. Many people are taught this way because it is a primitive viewpoint that says, there's my life over here. This is my life over here. And God and Christ are over here. I can do something so bad that God and Christ will be rolling their eyes over here and they'll say, you've screwed up everything. So I want to be very, very careful. All of a sudden, I went from a New York Jew to Woody Allen. No, to Elmer Fudd. Yeah, Woody Allen is a New York Jew. Elmer Fudd. We got to be very, very careful till we don't screw up God's plans, because it's very, very possible that God will be very, very disappointed. No, it's not. I mean, not absolutely speaking. So this is the old way of thinking. And now that we're mature, we don't have our life here and our spiritual life over here. We don't have our life here and God and Christ over here. We, with Paul, say to live is Christ. All things are of God. My life and everything in it is an expression of praise to God in the recognition that God is operating all things. God is working in me to will and to work for the sake of his delight. God is the author of my broken vessel. God makes sure, and this is mature truth, God makes sure that I can't do everything I want to do. Otherwise, I'd be Superman. Instead, I have this treasure of God's Spirit in an earthen vessel to keep me humble. Knowing that, I know that there are some mistakes I'm going to make that are any mistake that is ultimately of God to keep me weak, to keep me reliant on Him. It's this constant interplay between I did a lot of things right, but I did a lot of things wrong. There must be this constant interplay. What if you did everything right? Jeez. Nobody could be with you. Nobody could hang around with you. You would be insufferably proud. And Christians think they're obtaining this. We've done everything right. It's like Saul when he was a Pharisee. He's striving to become blameless in accord with law. It's a dead-end road. You have to give up on it to become spiritual. So you give up on that. Nobody does everything right. Nobody does everything wrong. You don't do everything wrong. You're not Charlie Brown. You're not Eeyore. I did everything wrong. No, nobody does everything wrong. So there's this interplay. And what I'm talking to you yesterday, today, and tomorrow is about this interplay between good and evil in your life. None of us want to make bad decisions. So these things will help us not to make bad decisions. Our conscience, scriptural revelation, and circumstance. How do we read circumstances? Oh, I'm going to tell you how we can read circumstances.